Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the one of the love that makes me free. Till my earthly life is ended, I will send songs above. Then beside the crystal sea, more and more my soul shall be praising Jesus and His love. He has purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and is walking on beside me, growing dearer day by day. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives, that my Redeemer lives. Sure, we can sing about it as we so often do. And this is very few of the lines in about three or four songs within our hymn books that we sing about being redeemed and redemption and what it is to be redeemed. But could you explain it to someone else? Could you take what you know about being redeemed, what it means to you, what it means to have redemption, and share it with someone else? Three Hebrew words and two Greek words develop for us an understanding of redemption. These words explain what it means to redeem something or someone, to deliver or release, to make a ransom, to buy or to buy back, to atone, expiate, propitiate, last week's word, to avenge or to act as a kinsman. To investigate this idea of redemption, we will look at five things. We'll look at how does redemption come about. We'll look at God as Redeemer in the Old Testament. Then we'll take a look at how and why God redeemed Israel. We'll look at the results of Israel's redemption and then make application of it in the redemption of man. How does redemption come about? Well, first of all, there must be something or someone that needs to be redeemed. If you go to Scripture and begin to look at all of the cases of redemption, you'll find that there are a number of things that can and should be redeemed. There was the object that should be redeemed might be that of a piece of property. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 24 through 28. God gave them rules guiding their decision making concerning the redemption of a person's property. The land of the Canaanites. God told Israel that the first offspring of every womb, the first offspring of every beast was to be devoted to God, but every first offspring of a donkey should be redeemed with a lamb. Exodus 13 and verse 13. So animals could be redeemed as well. When a census of the sons of Israel was taken, each numbered person was to give a ransom for himself to the Lord. Exodus chapter 30, verses 12 through 16. In the case of a daughter who was sold as a slave and she somehow became displeasing in the eyes of her master, she could be redeemed by her father. A careless owner who happened to have an ox that was in the habit of goring people, and an incident ensued resulting in someone's death, the owner of that ox would have to pay the demand ransom of which God said it would be for the redemption of His life. Exodus chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Looking at the example of one in Exodus as well, a man's uncle, a man's brother, a man's uncle's son, or other blood relative could redeem a man back if he became so poor as to have to sell himself as a slave to a sojourner or a foreigner who came into their territory. The nation of Israel had to be redeemed or brought out of captivity while in Egypt. And then again later on concerning their captivity in Babylon and Assyria. But God also redeems man from things which man has no control of. God redeems man from death is the message of Psalm 49 in verse 15. Also, Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. God also redeems people from personal circumstances, according to Psalm 34, verse 22. We have several examples of this in Scripture. We have the example of Abraham, who was redeemed from the land of idolatry, as Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 22. Job, you remember, declared God to be his redeemer in the midst of all of his troubles and trials. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. The psalmist asked for deliverance when he was confronted with an evil conspiracy. Psalm 31 verses 4 through 5. God redeemed people, but he also redeemed nations from their enemies. Psalm 69 and verse 18, Psalm 106 verse 10. But God redeems His people also from bondage and the guilt of sin. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 20. In all of these cases, it is established that there must be something that needs to be redeemed or someone that needs to be redeemed. Next, there must be someone with the means to redeem that which needs to be redeemed. In other words, a close relative often was used to fulfill the role of redeemer when they were redeeming property or a person's freedom. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 25 speaks of such. We recognize the story of Ruth and how it illustrates the closeness of a family relative with the ability to redeem. The family redeemer was of some relation to the person which needed to be redeemed, or the person who had a possession that needed to be redeemed. Finally, that redeemer who had the means to redeem had to use his own means for redeeming in order to gain control of the person or possession. As in the story of Ruth, as it unfolds, the reader discovers that the land of a man named Elimelech needed to be redeemed. Boaz was a close relative with the means to redeem that land. But there was a relative who was even closer than he. Therefore, he waited upon the closer relative's decision. And in Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 6, it's revealed to us that that closest relative chose to pass on the opportunity to redeem Elimelech's land. And he gave the right of redemption, Ruth 4 verse 6, to Boaz. Then Boaz uses his own resources to redeem the land of Elimelech and additionally the woman Ruth. Redemption therefore comes about when someone or something is in a position that needs to be redeemed. someone with a connection to that person, the one needing redemption, has a means to redeem them, has something to offer in their place. And the Redeemer then pays the price to have or gain control of the person or the possession. Then redemption can take place. As God was the Redeemer in the Old Testament, we will find that He was the sole Redeemer of those in the Old Testament. We find this same arrangement in the case of Israel being redeemed from Egypt. Exodus chapter 3, if you will look there with me, we'll read a few passages from Exodus chapter 3 as we begin to see that the Hebrew people were definitely in need of being delivered from Egyptian slavery. Exodus chapter 3, looking at verses 9 and 10. "Now behold," God said, "the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." God saw the oppression that the Egyptians were placing upon the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people, needing to be delivered, needing to be rescued, cried out to God, and God heard their cries. God had a relationship. It was already built with Israel. He hinted at it there in verse 10. "So I will bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But look at verses 6 and 7. "He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Verse 7, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings." The relationship with God that God had with the Hebrew people, with Israel, caused Him to have compassion upon them. And the compassion which He had for them caused Him to be attentive to their cries, attentive to their oppression, and to spring into action to deliver them. So God promised them redemption. He promised them redemption using His own resources. Verse 8, "So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up to that land, to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites." You see, God owned all the land because everything that is created is His. All of these other nationalities which God named, these nations, were within God's control as well. So God used the land that belonged to Him to redeem His people Israel out of Egypt, bring them into a land that flowed with milk and honey, previously possessed by these people. But it was by the power of God that He delivered Israel and gave them this promised land. Look at verses 20 to 22 of Exodus chapter 3. God said, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, He will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians." God would allow the Israelites to go from Egypt, but He would not let them go empty-handed. He would provide for them the things needed for their journey, needed for their trip, and He would use His power to bring about within the hearts and minds of the Egyptians to give the Israelites the very things they needed long after Israel was delivered from the Egyptians. They remembered what God had done. The psalmist writes in Psalm 105, beginning in verse 23, he recounts this story. Israel also came into Egypt. Thus Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he called his people to be very fruitful and made them stronger than their adversaries. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his wondrous acts among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood, and they caused the fish to die. Their land swarmed from frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came a swarm of flies and gnats in all their territory. He gave them hail as rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck down their vines also and their fig trees. He shattered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, and young locusts, even without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land, and ate up the fruit of the ground, and ate up the fruit of the ground. He also struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their vigor. Then he brought them out with silver and gold, and among their tribes there was not one who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the dread of them had fallen upon them. When God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage by His own power, He delivered them. A power so great that it caused dread in the minds and in the hearts of the Egyptians. And they released the Israelites. And God declared then, following this, that He alone was the sole Redeemer of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. He spoke with His people and said, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom you have not known, let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him. You shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you." God not only wanted His people to recognize that He was the sole Redeemer, but to recognize that anyone that denied such, or anyone that suggested they follow anything or anyone else as a god, they should be purged from among them. The second part of Isaiah uses the term Redeemer as a characteristic title for God. And so the prophet reminded God's people that God would act as a Redeemer once again. Isaiah chapter 41 In verse number 14, Isaiah spoke to the people, "Do not fear, you worm of Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." God was the sole Redeemer. God was the only one with the power, the ability, the means to redeem Israel. God was the one who was willing to redeem Israel. Time and again, God's love was shown to His people, but they would rebel against Him and He would have to punish them. Therefore, they were sent away into captivity, and God reminded His people that they were still precious to Him when He said through the words of Isaiah 43 and verse 4 that He was willing even to exchange other people for the lives of Israel. He said in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 26 that He would redeem Israel from Babylonian captivity because all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. God was the sole Redeemer of Israel from the bondage in Egypt and from the captivity in Babylon and Assyria. But how and why did God redeem Israel? When considering how God redeemed Israel, Moses recounted in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, that it was through God's mighty hand and outstretched arm that He delivered them from the Egyptians. Nehemiah told that God delivered the people from captivity through the great power and strong hand of Almighty God. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 10. It was by the power of God that God redeemed the nation of Israel. But why? Why would God use His power and His might to redeem these people? Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8 tells us that God redeemed Israel because of His love and because of His promise. A promise that He made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. His redemption is also associated with His holiness, as expressed in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 4. Because of God's holiness, He purified and redeemed the people to be His people. Thus, God redeems through His power, because of His love, and because of His holiness. What then is the result of God's redeeming Israel? When God redeemed Israel, He redeemed the Hebrew people, delivering them from bondage and forced labor. He set them free. He did the same for the Israelites as He rescued them from captivity. He set them free. Both of them gained the freedom from enemies and the ability to continue living. Psalm 106 and verse 10 says He saved them from the hand of the one who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. God told the captives through Jeremiah, His prophet, "I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent." Jeremiah 15 and verse 21. Isaiah reiterated in five different chapters that God's redemption guaranteed for His people security. It guaranteed security. Redemption, therefore, at the hands of God resulted in freedom from bondage, freedom from mistreatment, freedom from captivity, freedom from the enemy, and it guaranteed one's security. These truths set us up to take a look at the redemption of man. You see, the message of the Bible as a whole is a story about redemption. It's a story about how God wants to redeem man, and He does so through His Son, Jesus Christ. For in Him, that is Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The redemption that God offers man results in freedom, just as it did for the Israelites. This freedom, though, offered to man is freedom from the slavery to sin, Romans 6, verses 18 and 22. It's freedom from the power of Satan, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's freedom from the coming judgment, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. It's freedom from the second death, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It's freedom for the forgiveness of sins, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It's freedom for justification, Romans 3, verses 23 to 25. It's freedom for one's inclusion in the covenant, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And it is freedom for one to live a new life, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Redemption by God's hand and God's plan through His Son makes sinful man pure, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It allows God's people to receive God's promised blessings, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. Yet man as well as creation await final redemption, redemption at Christ's second coming, Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. Believers, therefore, are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. God wants to redeem man. And He does so through His Son, making the offer and the promise of many blessings, both now and in eternity. So how does all of this story of redemption relate to you and I? God created man. And when He created man, He desired to have a strong relationship with man. But man is oftentimes disobedient, selling his soul to the devil. And the result is that man then needs to be redeemed, needs to be bought back from the power of Satan, bought back from the influence of sin. God, therefore, used His own means for redeeming, to pay the price so that man could be set free from the bondage of sin and eternal death. The means to redeem man was His Son. So God, who is the sole redeemer of man, chose to use His one and only Son to be the price paid so man could be set free. The perfect, precious life and blood of Jesus Christ was given to buy man back, to make atonement, to expiate, to be the propitiation, to make a way so that we could have forgiveness. Through His power, God allowed Jesus to die in man's place. By His own holiness and His own love, God sent Jesus into the world. By Jesus' love and holiness, He was obedient to the Father and laid down His life to pay that ransom. God then raised Jesus. And because God raised Jesus, Jesus had power over death, which resulted in the offering made to all people of freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, and the security of being a possession that belongs to God. Man can therefore be free. Free from sin, free from the wrath of God, and avoid the despair of hell. Man can be free from worry, shame, guilt, and even grief. Man can be secure in God's grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, peace, righteousness, holiness, hope, justification, propitiation, atonement, and thereby be in position to enjoy the blessedness of heaven. This is the story of redemption. All of the words which we have studied in this one word series has brought us to this point to see the beauty and the simplicity, yet the great complexity of a word like redemption. This is redemption. A redemption of which we can sing, redeemed, how love to proclaim it. For Jesus has purchased our redemption. He has rolled our burden of sin away. Therefore, all to Him we should and can and will resign when we are redeemed. Because we have accepted God's offer to be redeemed through His Son Jesus, we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that eternal life He gives. And we can know where we will spend eternity. Every accountable person needs to be redeemed because he has been disobedient to God. And he needs to be forgiven. He needs to be bought back. God is the only one who is qualified to be a person's redeemer. And God has done His part to redeem us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, He sent His Son into this world that we might have eternal life. Christ has done His part, putting an end to the power of Satan and the power of death. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit has imparted the gospel, which is the power to save. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And in it is the invitation. The invitation extended to invite all people to come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And so it is that we can be redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Question for you tonight is, have you received this offer? Have you accepted, rather, this offer? Have you accepted the offer that God has made to redeem you, to make you free so that you can be free from the guilt and the shackles of sin, be free from the guilt that comes with that, and to have the blessed hope of eternal life? If you have not received redemption, receive redemption today. Receive it by believing the gospel, repenting of the sin that is in your life, confessing Christ and being baptized to wash away those sins, and live a faithful life of obedient service to God. God wants nothing more than to be your Redeemer. And He wants to be your Redeemer tonight if you will come to Him as together we stand and as we sing.